Mary Beth Wenger is a longtime Albany area news anchor and a reporter. She's also now an author, and she joins us this morning to talk about her new book, Finding Grandma, A Sentimental Journey Through 1920s Columbia County Recipes. The book is the story of Wenger's search for the grandmother she never knew, stumbling over a hidden legacy left behind by Grandma Edna. Is an authentic 1920s recipe collection. She embarked on a voyage of discovery. The turn of every crumbling yellowed page unlocked mysteries as she uncovered recipes either handwritten or snipped from newspapers, often affixed with straight pins to the pages. It was an unexpected springboard into the past and certainly brought her on a nostalgic journey that jumps back and forth from the 1920s to today. Again, the name of the book is Finding Grandma, and it is a great pleasure to have Mary Beth Wenger join us on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I love having you back on the air.
That's nice to hear.
Miss having you on the air.
Well, so thank you. And perhaps this is my way of reaching out to the many people that I love to chat with on stories and that sort of thing, just in a new venue.
Yeah, absolutely. So this came just a little backstory here. But, you know, you and I, we had a conversation many years ago where you were just starting this project. And you were listening to a guest of ours, Ruth Reichel, and that sort of led to, I guess you had already found the book at that point.
Yes, I'd found it, I think, in January of that same year. And this is kind of funny how it came to be. My mother had said to me just after Christmas, we were sitting one Sunday afternoon having cups of tea, and she said, all of a sudden, go down to the basement and get your grandmother's recipe book. And she'd never mentioned a recipe book ever before in years and years and years, so I duly went down the stairs, and I actually brought the recipe book to show Joe. It's not too fair to the listeners, but you can look on our website.
It's incredible. It's beautiful.
It's an old, you know, as we said, yellowed, crumbling copy, and what's so kind of funny about this is it says 1920 Republican Canvas Book. It was from Columbia County, and it's a little faded, but apparently this was for someone, and perhaps someone in the family was taking down names and registrations, and it even has, you know, Republican, Democrat, Socialist, Prohibition, or Doubtful, which is my favorite. But the recipes were written in there because I believe Grandma probably had not a lot of spare paper, and that's what came
yes.
to hand.
And so you go downstairs, you find the recipe book, which until that point you had never seen before.
Right. My mother had never remembered it. She must have seen it when she was putting away the Christmas decorations a few weeks before.
And then once you get it into your hands, I would think you'd say, oh, this is interesting. And then there's a point where it becomes beyond interesting.
Right. You know, I looked at all the recipes had the names of the people that had given them to my grandmother. You know, Iola, Emma's cream pie, you know, Josie's chocolate pie. And I started having kind of a reverie, you know, thinking, well, you know, what is it about this sharing of recipes that's just striking me so? And looking through all these pages, there's a line that I have on the back of the book that says, have you ever been transported to another time or place by holding a well-worn artifact in your hands? And I think that's what happened for me and probably has happened to a lot of us. Perhaps we've gone up in the attic, we found an old toy, or we found something that belonged to some relative long gone. And you start thinking, what was life like for them? What were they thinking when they were mixing up those recipes at the kitchen table or the kitchen sink? And how did that play into their lives and providing nourishment for the family?
The thing I love about the book, each chapter is basically a recipe title and has a recipe. And I find it interesting because it just shows us how food is so essential to us and to telling the stories and where we are in our lives and what we're doing and really can be a nice way of kind of a beginning and a middle and an end, telling a narrative.
Right. And what I loved about this and why I gave the chapters titles of the actual recipes was because they sort of did honor to the person who gave them to Grandma. You know, she would write down, it's Mrs. Harder's, and she wrote Angle's cake for angel cake, angel food cake. So each woman was honored in her own way. And I think in farm times in the 1920s, it was a tough life. Those women worked in the orchards picking fruit and then came home and were, you know, making the dinner and sewing clothes for the children and that sort of thing. And so this was kind of a nice way probably to kick up their heels to make a beautiful cake for a church social or for a card party, that right. sort of thing. So it was a special moment in addition to the everyday kind of things they did.
What is it like for you? What was it like for you to try to read the handwriting, to fill in the blanks of the missing words of things that you couldn't see? I assume working with your mother on this?
Yes, my mom is in her 80s, and she is probably the driving force behind this because she would tell me many of the stories and the family lore that was associated with this. And my great uncle Stanley used to tell me back in the 70s when he was alive certain stories. So that's how I started to cobble things together. Reading some of the recipes, now you'll see a term S-A-L-E-R-A-T-U-S, saleratus, which we used to joke about at home. That's baking soda. It's an old-fashioned term for baking soda, which also comes up in the book, I think, as a cure for rheumatism, or as part of the recipe right. of a cure for rheumatism. And among the recipes, which are interesting in their own right, and I would encourage folks to try to make them today, even though what's also interesting is that they, of course, had no times to cook them or temperatures because they were working with these cast iron wood stoves, and you'd either have a hot oven, a moderate oven, or a slow oven. But I have updated a few of the recipes for people to try, and some of them that my mom and I still use that are tried and true.
When it came down to the recipe, I mean, did you try them all?
I didn't try them all. I can't say that I have. I've tried the ones that are updated for modern cooks, and I'd kind of like to hear, we do have a website connected to the book, I'd like to hear from people as to whether they've tried them. One of them I remember is Cornflake Fancies, which is a fairly short recipe. It's just whipped up egg whites, I think sugar, coconut, and cornflakes, and put in a slow oven, so almost like a meringue. That shouldn't be too hard to recreate, and I'm going to try to do some experimenting myself. But what also was interesting in this was looking, and you had mentioned about some of the snipped out right. of publications that were attached with straight pins. They didn't invent Scotch tape until 1930, I understand. So that was really interesting to me. But when I took the straight pins out, I could see on the back witticisms of the day or comments of the day, sayings of the day. One of them was about a man saying, you know, when a stockbroker or someone that's wealthy wants to see your balance sheet, just show him your nice full a barn full of corn and dairy cow that are healthy. And he doesn't need to see your balance sheet because you've got a working farm. So that really took me back to what that era must have been like and how people felt to be working on the farm and how proud they were of it.
You have her singing, "I love pie, I love cake, for my sweetheart I will bake."
Yes.
So how do did you augment this with other writings or and recollections of your grandmother?
I sort of made up that song.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of thing, if I'm standing around the kitchen, sometimes I sing to my dogs
yeah.
while I'm cooking something, you know, with just a tune that comes into my head. and part of that was because that was about the radio broadcast. That was something that I learned because I did a bit of research on this. And some folks who are from around the Albany area may know that there's a local bakery that serves radio bars and radio cake and radio Parker House rolls. Right. Some of the recipes I have in my great aunt Blanche's recipe book, which is also a companion to this, were the recipes that were given out in the late 1920s by, I believe it was Aunt Sammy. She was considered to be, you know, Uncle Sam's wife, and she would do sort of a home economics kind of show on the radio, giving people tips, you know, homespun humor, wisdom, bits of wisdom, recipes, and either people would write them down or they'd send in for them.
When you go on something like this and you start to find out you have information that you didn't have before, and yet there's still an awful lot of blanks to fill in. And one of the things that I've found with both my parents having recently passed within the last several years, it's trying to fill in those blanks and find out the answers to those questions, which I may never know the answers to. So you have to kind of not make it up, but just intuit, I guess.
Right. Some of these are stories that my mom and I have talked about for years and years. And what's kind of nice is we've bonded as a result of that, you
sure.
know, telling some of these family tales. But you're right. There are certain things. I couldn't know exactly what Grandma Edna said or whether she sang that song or,
right.
you know, but so I had to make a little bit of that up. But, you know, I'm kind of just thinking, well, how would I have felt had I been living in that time? And of course, I'm a totally different person, generations away, but I think that's part of the whole reverie in trying to kind of make up this setting and the atmosphere of what it would have been like to live on a farm in Columbia County in the 1920s.
And And that is also struck me in reading the book, is that this is very much a universal story of a grandmother and of us trying to connect to the past, but also very much a local story in that a great deal of this comes from what was around them, which was, you know, right there in Columbia County.
Right. Right. And, you know, and the history there is something that I thought to myself, you know, there have been a number of folks who have bought houses, second homes, perhaps, in Columbia County that may have not grown up around there and don't know some of these historical stories. There is one story in there about my grandmother and her siblings sitting on the stone wall that was at the edge of their property. And they looked across the road and they see a big commotion and there's a gentleman over there and they're thinking, oh, this man must be very important. And he comes over and he hands each child a shiny new dime. Turned out to be John D. Rockefeller, the famous industrialist. And I don't know that any of the kids ever saved their dimes. They probably didn't realize the historical significance is what my mom has said. But little things like that, just to know that that happened, that was an episode in your family and that happened in a place that's right around here, is kind of nice to think about, you know, in the times when we have a little time to think, when we're driving our car or mixing up something to eat at the dinner table or by the dinner table, to just think about some of these things that have gone before.
What were some of the, were there individual notes that she would write about the recipes?
There wasn't a lot of detail. Certainly, as we said, no times or temperatures. There was one that I do remember that was a good bit of detail. It's entitled Remember This About Fudge. And she writes in great detail about don't stir it when it's too hot because that makes it grainy. And I'm sure fudge was a big thing that they made for parties and as a treat. And interestingly, most of these recipes are for baked goods, sweets. They didn't have a lot of salads, it seems.
Right.
So there's a few recipes. So it's probably no wonder that many in the family had diabetes and had cardiovascular disease. I'm not sure people want to go whole hog recreating these recipes today, but you can make a few changes here and there or for a treat.
You look through these old books and you kind of realize why we're orphaned.
Right.
I was, you know, as I was going through my mother's cookbook, which was basically derived from her mother and her mother before her, you see these little notes and it's things like, well, Gordon doesn't like this. And I'm like, well, I have no idea who Gordon is. And then you start this family search and you find out that Gordon was like my aunt's second boyfriend who she never married, but apparently they were on their way to the altar.
Wow.
And you find things like that and that it's fascinating and you had no idea. And but they also can be very frustrating if you can find the answer.
True. And as the older generations pass on, it's a little hard to do that. So while I could, I tried to write down what I could remember, what my mom could remember, and then, you know, tried to supplement it with kind of the atmosphere that I imagined it was like back then.
It has beautiful photos in it and lovely reproductions, and I assume that that was fun putting together as well.
Yes, it was. We had some wonderful folks at Troy Bookmakers who put together this book, and they really did a top-notch job because we had to scan these old pages, and they're, as we've said, crumbling. So there was a fear that I was going to probably hurt the book by trying to recreate it. But I wanted people to really get that feel as they thumb through the pages. This is what it looks like to hold this book.
You have events coming up. Tell us about them.
Yes, we have a couple of book signings, three book signings. We have one at Artifacts Country Shop in Melrose, which is north of Troy. That's this Saturday. That's from 9 to 3. We also have one in Hudson, same day, this Saturday. That's from 5 to 8 at the Hudson Supermarket. And at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza, December 14th. And that is from 1 to 3 p.m.
Excellent. So you'll be out there and talking about the book, and it's a delight to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. It's a delight to be here.
It was so great to hear from you this week, and I was glad we could get this on. It's Finding Grandma, A Sentimental Journey Through 1920s Columbia County Recipes, a beautiful book, and you can find more by going to findinggrandmabook.com, findinggrandmabook.com. Mary Beth Wenger, a great pleasure. Thank you. So good to see you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.